Good morning to each one. It is a privilege to be with you all again for several reasons. Number one, if you're here, you means you feel good enough to be, hopefully. And number two, to once again be with your friends, new made friendships that have been made. And probably the most important reason is you're here, and that means hopefully you are here to learn again. I always enjoy learning. I don't necessarily enjoy the teaching, but I want to do what God wants me to. So I invite you to turn with me to James chapter 1. And I think I could have just handed my notes over to Leonard, and our thoughts were gone in the same direction. James chapter 1, verse 19. I'll read verse 19 through 25. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And this morning I titled the message, Opportunity and Choices. Opportunity is to be given a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do or experience something. And each opportunity that we are given in life will be met with a choice. We cannot get around this fact. Either we will make a choice for right, or we will make a choice for wrong. We may make a choice consciously or subconsciously. I'm going to read you a short story here. There was a man between 1945 and 1950 that opened his five and a dime store, and later, because of various reasons, moved his business to Bentonville, Arkansas in 1962. He opened the first of those stores that have got a lot of all of our money. The store's called Walmart. By 1970, he or the company, they started sharing their trades publicly. And I'm not telling you about this business venture just to tell you a story, but that we can see the opportunity here. And I think it's a modern day, maybe not modern day, but maybe modern day in our parents' world. If a person bought 100 of these shares in the Walmart stock in 1970, today they have split 11 times, and they split in half, in short, basically to become or to stay affordable, so people can continue buying shares. You're getting, they don't go as far. So if one person bought 100, they would then have 200. The last time they split was here in last February of 24, and it was a 3-for-1 split. Today, those 100 shares, if you would have left them in there since 1970, you would have 614,400 shares in Walmart stock. And I'm not condoning buying stocks in Walmart this morning or investing your money in this way. But I simply want to bring out the point of opportunity. And in the world's eyes, this was an opportunity, and it was a big opportunity. Those 100 shares today would be worth approximately $37 million. And as I've said, I didn't come today to talk about Sam Walton, but rather the opportunity that we have been given. I want to look back here and just pull a few things out of James here. Just a few thoughts. In verse 19, how swift are we to hear God's word? Does it need to be repeated six times before we actually catch it? Or are we able to discern through speaking, discern what God has for us? Is that what we want in life? If it is, then we'll hear. Verse 22, and this is probably what got me started down this thought process, is the fact of all the teaching that we have sat under. And I wasn't sure what to talk about this morning. We've heard so many good things, and you all that have been in Bible school have sat in 2 weeks of classes. But did you catch it? Did you get what they were trying to say? Was it a man speaking, or was God speaking through a man? And so this is where I ended up. Back at verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Next week, what we heard, and every day, we're going to get the opportunity to make a choice, to be a doer of what you've learned, or to just be a hearer. Let's move down to verse 24 here. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. I think a time like last week helps us to step back from the busyness of life and take a look at the person that we are becoming. And it gives us opportunity to draw closer to God or to harden our hearts and turn from God, turn from truth. This story here about the stocks in Walmart, obviously, it didn't have any eternal consequence whether they invested or not. It was an opportunity. In the world's eyes, it was a good opportunity. And the opportunity was lost for some. But in eternity, it's not going to matter whether they invested or not. But the things that we have heard the last while, they do matter. And they are truths that will help us to eternity. And life is full of choices. Life is full of opportunities. it gets very practical. There's opportunities to be kind. There's opportunities to be cruel to our family, to our siblings, to our church brothers, to our livestock. And I believe that making these choices right does make a difference. It seems small, but these little choices that we make do make a difference. We are daily confronted with the opportunity to do good or bad. And some opportunities only present themselves one time. You know, you can still buy into Walmart stocks, but it's not near the opportunity it was, and it's going to cost a lot more. But I have to think of, you walk on an airplane, and you might meet a neighbor, but most times we're meeting totally strangers, and it may be the only time you meet them. Or do we take the opportunity to be friendly, to share a smile, and to share Jesus with the world around us? We also have opportunities to be hurt emotionally, to be bitter about our circumstances in life. You know, do we make a choice to set and nurse a wound? Maybe somebody offended us. Do we make the choice to sit there and nurse that wound, or do we let go of those hurts and claim healing? Just small things, but yet big things. You can turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 and verse 6. We will read verse 6 through 12. And this is talking about the account where Peter was released from prison. The angel came and rescued him. Let's read here in verse 6 through 12. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird up thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garments about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through the one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Okay, so the context here, Herod was going to kill him the next morning. And he was bound in prison between two soldiers. What was the likeliness of him not dying the next morning? It was very, very slim. And that night, the angel came in the prison, and he said, "Get up, get dressed. We're going to get going here." And Peter had a choice to make. And it looks so obvious what would be the good idea to do here. But he could have been fearful that as soon as he moved, those soldiers would have captured him. And Peter got up, he got dressed, and started following the angel out of prison. And I think it was here in verse 9. He went out and followed him, but he thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming, I guess. And it wasn't until the angel left him, here in verse 10, the angel departed, that Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know of surety that the Lord hath sent his angel." Suddenly Peter realized that God had just saved him. And I believe it was then that he realized the opportunity that he had been given. And we know how much of a blessing Peter went on to be. He touched lots of people's lives later on, and he was very instrumental in the church, work of the church. And you know, what if Peter wouldn't have made that choice? We don't know how the story would end, but we know here that he made a good choice, and it had a good outcome. You know, so often in life, I waste opportunity. And we don't understand everything that God has for us. We think that it needs to make sense in our minds, and then it's probably a good idea. I think the lesson here that I would like to get out of this is that we simply take the opportunity and follow God. Even when we don't understand, if God is making something clear to us, follow. Did you all see opportunity this past couple weeks? Or were we too busy with our own things? We were presented with a lot of opportunity. Opportunities for growth in our personal walk. Opportunities to gain tools that will help us help others. I want to look here at an account of some people that made wrong choices because of their unbelief. And I think that's a big struggle for us today, is unbelief. You can turn with me back, back to Genesis chapter 6. I want to read the account of the flood here. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 through 13. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And we could continue reading here and learn exactly how the ark was made and all the details. God gave Noah specific details of how he wanted the ark made. He told him where to place the window, where to place the door, how high to make it, how wide to make it. And what I want to get out of this story, hopefully, is once again opportunity. God was giving the people opportunity to repent. Noah was not only building the ark, but he was preaching to the people, warning them of the doomsday coming. And I don't know the exact amount of time that it took to build the ark, but it talks about Noah being in his 500th year, and then when the ark was finished, it talks about him being in his 600th year, so approximately 100 years. But I wonder, what were those people outside the ark thinking when Noah went in after the animals and the door was closed? Were they still making fun of Noah? Was Noah just being radical? Was he just a little far out? So far, what he had said hadn't came true. And it is mentions that it didn't rain for 7 days. You know, what were those people thinking during those 7 days? They probably thought they were right after all, just like we would. But God had shut the door of opportunity for those people. There was over 100 years of opportunity, of preaching. But now, after 7 days, the door was shut and it began to rain. And I'm guessing their thoughts changed quite a bit. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do only err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. We too have opportunity to put to practice what we have learned. We have a choice to receive the truth, or the other option is to harden our hearts. I don't believe we can sit under teaching and learning and just stay neutral about it. We will either harden our hearts or we will grow from it. And that is my burden this morning, that we hear truth and we do something about it. I would like to close with another little story. Another story of opportunity. And once again, I didn't just come here to tell you about rich people, but found some stories that I felt fit. The Borden family had made a great fortune in the Colorado silver mining. On November 1, 1887, the wealthy Borden family had a son named William. In 1904, the rich young man graduated high school in Chicago. He was heir to the Borden family fortune. So the Borden family gave 16-year-old William a trip around the world for his graduation present. William traveled in Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. William was so moved and touched by the hurting people, Bill wrote a letter to his family. Bill said in his letter he desired to be a missionary. Several of Bill's friends and family could not believe this rich young man would throw away his life. In 1905, Borden returned to study at the Yale University. Several other students noted that William Borden was different. He wasn't just a rich young man. He was totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. As a young student, Borden wrote in the back of his Bible, "No reserves." Later, Borden wrote in his Bible, "Say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." Bill started a student prayer meeting in the Yale campus, and at the end of Bill's freshman year, the prayer group went from 1 to 150 praying students. His sophomore year, the number grew to 300. William Borden started focusing on one area of China where the Muslim people lived. He prayed for the Muslim Kanzu people. Borden graduated college and refused all the high-paying jobs that a wealthy family offered. His senior year, William Borden wrote two more notes in the back of his Bible to go with the other two, "No reserves," and now he penned, "No retreats." Bill went on to Princeton Seminary to do his graduate work in Bible studies. When he completed his studies, Bill set sail for China to the Muslim people. He stopped in Egypt to study Arabic, and while studying the language in Egypt, Borden got sick, and he was found to have cerebral spinal meningitis and could not return to the U.S. William was dying. He looked at the back of his Bible and read the four words he had written, "No reserve, no retreats," and now he added two more words, "No regrets." Many considered Borden to be a failure. He gave away all his wealth. He gave away all his privileges of fame and wealth. Borden's death was a terrible wasted life in their eyes. William Borden died in 1913, and his mother, Mary, was reading Bill's Bible and found the six words in the back that is the theme of many: no reserve, no retreats, and no regrets. God bless you. Let's stand for prayer.